Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
When we talk about God, what we are talking about is what all religions hold dear, and that is to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you.
That preacher standing on a street corner preaching, one man's evangelist is another person's political activist. You shut that man up on evangelism, you can shut him up on apartheid.
Praise music is not a genre in a style that it has a certain sound to it, but praise music is when you sing of who Yahweh is, what Yahweh has done.
Northern Illinois chainsaw drivers, love, issues, etc.
Well, admit it, when you think about the wrath and the judgment of God, one of the first kind of things that pops into your mind, whether it should or not, are the kind of natural disasters that, well, the insurance companies and the actuaries like to call acts of God because they have no one else to blame them on. They're accidents, but some of them are the kind of things that rob people of their homes, their livelihoods, even their lives and their health, earthquakes and fires, all these things. They seem to us to be manifestations of God's judgment and God's wrath. That's the kind of God we think we have. But does God's wrath sometimes come in a form that, well, at least the world and sometimes even mistakenly Christians might think of as good things or progress? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the wrath and judgment of God on this Friday afternoon with Dr. Paul Wendland for the first 20 minutes or so. He's president and professor of New Testament at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. Then it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will join us. We're going to talk about Hillsong. Hillsong, of course, is that big church in Australia that has satellites all over the world, the most influential, not the largest, but the most influential megachurch in the world, I would say. Christine Kane from Hillsong is going to be teaching on 2 Kings 7, 1 through 8, and we'll see what Chris Roseborough has to say about it. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet, @issuesetc. And our beloved on-demand listeners, use that Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the wrath and judgment of God, Dr. Paul Wendland. He's president and professor of New Testament at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary and author of an article for Forward in Christ called The Wrath of God. Dr. Wendland, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, how are you doing, Todd?
Doing well. We often think about the wrath and judgment of God in terms of things like a tornado strikes or an earthquake or hurricane, something like that. These are the natural disasters that portend the wrath of God. Is it possible that God's judgment and wrath also come in forms that at least the world would consider as good, as progress?
Well, sure. I mean, in fact, I think that's the wrath of God at its most terrible, or terrifying, I should say. If everything is going well, that could be a sign of a number of things. One of the things it could definitely be a sign of, as far as Romans 1 is concerned, is that God has just given up on people. He's just letting them go. And the fact that they don't hear anything from God, or that he's no longer bothering to try to call them to repentance by obvious signs of his wrath, is evidence of he's not talking to them anymore. He's not dealing with them anymore. I think Luther has a section in his Jonah commentary where he talks about Jonah sleeping peacefully in the boat while the sailors are struggling with the storm up above. And it's that sleep where you're not conscious of any wrath. And then there's also Romans 2, I think, where Paul says that, don't you understand that the goodness of God should lead you to repentance? The problem is we think we have all these things coming to us. We don't realize that they're evidence, not so much that we're getting what we deserve, but we're getting something that is the opposite of what we deserve, and yet we blithely go on thinking it's all well and God is at peace with me, when just the opposite is true.
It's something that's not without biblical example of God kind of saying, if this is what you want, in particular to his Old Testament people, if this is what you want, then in my judgment and wrath, this is what I will give you.
Yeah. The Old Testament you can point to, the three times Paul says in Romans 1, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them up. And it's almost like hammer blows, where you just say, all right, you want to be that way, go be that way. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that there are two kinds of people, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, thy will be done.
You have said that we really are not going to be able to understand or grasp God's love if we don't think God's wrath and judgment are real. What do you mean by that?
Unless I come to an understanding that sin is really sinful, that my secret sins stand in the light of his presence, if the only thing that I'm seeking from God is his tolerance rather than his forgiveness, if the only thing that I want from God is to be left alone or for things to go swimmingly good all the time, then I really have not come to understand the depth of the gravity of the position in which I stand. And if I don't understand that, then to try to understand God from below as we see him at the foot of the cross is something I'll never get. I'll never understand why Jesus died. It'll never make sense to me. It'll at best be some kind of act of solidarity of a sufferer with other suffering people, but it still doesn't come face to face with who God is and how much he loves me, that he would be willing to serve as a lightning rod for his father's wrath in my place.
Well, what does it tell you, Dr. Wendland, that even among Christians, there are things that they fear more than the wrath of God? I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves, as you point out in your article, we don't so much fear death as a consequence of sin as we do those hours, months, or years leading up to death, kind of wasting away in a nursing home. Death doesn't seem that big of a problem to us. What does that tell you about, even among Christians, our mindset about the justice and the wrath of God?
Well, it says to me that we live in a different age than the age where these things were felt more keenly. We have been cosseted and surrounded by good things, and maybe this is where what you were getting at the beginning of with your first question, that when you're surrounded by a life of ease, you are more concerned with anything that might disturb that ease, and you really just want the joy of life as you know it to continue. You're not really facing the reality of God or the reality of what's going on in your own heart. So yeah, I think as we look at society around us, we're looking at a society that has so much that it never really has a time to reflect on the reality of who God is or who we are. We drown ourselves in the momentary. It's like clicking on the internet. You just click one link after another until you've killed an hour of time, and that's life.
There have been attempts to understand, as you talked about God from below, that is Jesus dead on the cross. There have been attempts to explain it that mitigate the wrath of God, or that deny that this is God in his judgment and his wrath being poured out on his son. Maybe it's a divine object lesson of humility, or maybe it's somehow God simply displaying how much he loved. This is Jesus saying how much I love you, rather than actually suffering under the real, tangible, consequential wrath of his Father on account of our sins. What do you make of such attempts?
They're just unscriptural. They don't agree with what the scriptures say. They're attempts of trying to justify that which is unjustifiable. I mean, if that's what God needs to do to prove his mere solidarity with us, if there isn't some underlying ground of justice that has to be satisfied, that Jesus is willing to meet on the cross, then at best, God is just a bully, a senseless bully at that.
Dr. Paul Wendland is our guest. We're talking about the wrath and judgment of God on this Friday afternoon, March the 18th. He's president and professor of New Testament at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary and author of an article for Forward in Christ called The Wrath of God. When we come back, we've got a great quote from August Pieper on God's judgment being more terrible on us today than the ancient world. We'll find out what he means right after this.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Friday afternoon, March the 18th. We are talking about the wrath of God, the judgment of God. Dr. Paul Wendland is our guest. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, our weekly feature with him this week in Pop American Christianity. We will talk about Christine Kane of Hillsong and her kind of narcissistic twisting of 2 Kings 7. That's coming up here in just a few minutes on Issues Etc. Dr. Wendland, you have a quote from August Pieper. This is what he has to say about the wrath of God. I'd like you to explain it. God's judgment will be so much more terrible than passed on the ancient pagan world, since the world of today has not only resisted the testimony of creation and conscience, but in addition, the testimony of the Spirit of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does Pieper mean by that?
Well, he's saying that in the pagan world into which the gospel first came, there was certainly a crescendo of evil going on, people acting perversely as far as their worship of God was concerned, people who were acting perversely so far as their relationships with one another. But in America, we have been graced with the gospel ever since our nation's inception. And having had the gospel rain shower fall on us so abundantly for so long, the fact that we now are unable to read the signs of the times and see that God is truly angry with sin. And if we look at our society, we see there's no talk about God being angry about sin. We blame one another. We look for a human cause. We try to find causes in global warming for the ills of the world, or lack of ethical propriety on the part of this person or that person. But it never has reference to the underlying rebellion of humanity against its good God and Maker. And as long as it doesn't have that, society, which has had the benefit of the gospel for so long, is doubly guilty. At least you could say the Greco-Roman world was doing what they were doing because they hadn't heard the gospel. We don't have that. We're also despising the gospel on top of our other many sins.
Does that culpability extend to the church insofar as a true preaching of the proper office of the law, as the wrath of God against our sin, is often attenuated? It's often sometimes missing in our pulpits.
Yeah, we have, unfortunately, I think, fallen prey to American pragmaticism, where basically people are looking on Sunday for news you can use. And so if the law appears in many sermons, and I don't have to point the finger at other people. I struggle with this myself, that it's all too easy to fall into a rut of trying to preach the law in such a way as to offer a solution for a dilemma. Maybe you could talk about it as evangelical encouragement to godly living, but the fact is the primary use of the law to convict someone of sin, to expose his wretched condition, that note is easily silenced because it's part of the culture in which we live. Generally speaking, I guess I'm told that people don't like confrontation in our society, especially younger people. From what I've been told, millennials prefer a non-confrontational approach. And so to hear somebody speaking fire and brimstone from the pulpit can be, to put it mildly, off-putting. And so if you are in a position of being a pastor, the temptation is to cave. Now, I don't think that necessarily means that there's only one way of preaching wrath from the pulpit. And certainly preaching wrath does not necessarily mean that you preach from a position of superiority down to all the people that you're preaching at, but rather as one sinner to another saying, you know, we're all in this predicament. This is where we find ourselves. But that key note should be absent, that the first use of the law should be absent, is an error all too easily fallen into. And, you know, I'll accept the criticism of myself as well as anybody else, offering it against anybody else.
And as you have pointed out, if the wrath of God is not sounding forth from the pulpit, then the love of God that is preached there is going to have, it's going to be somewhat shallow, isn't it, Dr. Wendland?
We have to learn that very God that we fear, that very God that we're running from, is the God to whom we need to turn and say, Lord, have mercy, and then he gives us his mercy in Christ Jesus. But that's the hard thing. We want to keep on running. And you'll never find God unless you find him in the brutalized body on the cross and ask yourself, why does this all need to happen just this way? And I think the ancient hymn writers had it right when they talked about, dear Jesus, what law hast thou broken? And pointed to, this is the wrath that I do merit. That's the key insight, and that's where the love of God is shining so absolutely brightly, because you see that here he is willing to do all this for me, for someone just like me. I don't have to hide from myself anymore. I can be honest with myself and stand in the light of God's presence because I know that grace, that he offers me at the cross is a grace that covers even over that shameful wretchedness of who I am and what I have done and what I have failed to do.
Are you saying that what is wrath to Jesus suffering for our sakes on the cross and dying there is ultimately love toward us?
In calling us to repentance, yeah, it becomes something that God uses in service of his love. Lutherans have talked about it in different ways as God's alien work, as something that he does in the interest of his love. But it's really only at the cross where that paradox is resolved. It's only at the cross where you can get to the point where you can see that something that just seems like utter degradation and sadness and woe can be something totally different. It doesn't make any sense outside of that context. I mean, when I think about my brother dying in an accident when he was a young man, when I think of my mother dying of cancer in the spring of the year, and I think of the woe of all that, it doesn't seem to make sense. And if someone in a easy, quick way just seems to try to, well, only the good die young, or try to explain it with some kind of Pez dispenser wisdom, it really doesn't make sense. You can only have it make sense when you look into the heart of the one who was willing to offer himself so freely in my place. Then, while I may not understand all the actions of God's providence, I know that comes from a heart of love to me, even though it seems like it is not loving. And so at one and the same place, I acknowledge both the woe of it and the joy of it. And I think that's what Paul means about learning how to be patient in affliction.
Dr. Paul Wendland is president and professor of New Testament at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. And he's author of an article for Forward in Christ on the wrath of God. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Wendland, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your time.
When we come back, we're going to do This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We'll take up Christine Kane and Hillsong, her teaching on 2 Kings. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is called Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is this done? That's the outline of the book, by the way. Not only what it means to teach the faith in the family, at home, which is a good old Lutheran way of doing it, but also a practical how-to manual on how to do that very thing. Find out more about teaching the faith at home at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House. They'd be happy to send you a copy if you order Teaching the Faith at Home, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, and This Week in Pop American Christianity is next.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he won for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.